If you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, we'll be in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 24 this morning. We are just honored that you would come and visit us this morning and worship the Lord with us. I like to tell our church, my philosophy that I just want our main attraction at this church to be Jesus Christ. He is the one we come to worship. He is the one we come to exalt. He is the one we come to know more about. And yes, in the process, we encourage each other and edify each other and just try to be a support to one another. And that's what we will do. But He is the main thing. And the main reason we come, the Lord Jesus, is simply that. And I also have some surprise visitors, the Blevin family here, our missionaries now for, you were telling me, over 30 years here out of Crooked Creek Baptist Church. I don't know that you guys are sent out of here, but you are a supported missionary family that's here with us this morning. So if you would, please make sure that you go by and greet them after the service and encourage them. Tell them how much we appreciate them and look forward to getting you back, brother, and preaching for us and doing just that. All right, if you want to turn in your Bibles there, Proverbs chapter 24, I'll begin reading in verse 11. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 11. The Bible says, "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, Behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works?" With the Lord's help this morning, I want to preach a message entitled 911, A Call to Be Delivered. Let's pray. Father, we do just commit every part of this service to you, and I can't tell you, God, how encouraged I am by the participation of our first responders this morning. I'm thankful, God, that they've come and to just worship You, Lord. And they've come to hear Your Word, and yes, we have honored them, and we're so thankful for them. Lord, I also just want to thank You for our church and our people who seek to encourage others and reach out. I'm thankful for their hearts. I'm thankful for the preparations that have gone into this day. I'm thankful, oh God, for the choir and the wonderful job they've done in singing praises to Your name. I thank You for our musicians, Lord. I just thank You for what You're doing in our church. And now, Lord, we just want to focus in upon Your Word for the next little bit. And I pray that You would work in our midst. Lord, I pray You'd meet needs that only You know about in this room. And that only You can meet. We just commit everything to You, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. 911 is a number that, of course, even before September the 11th took place in 2001, was something that is very important to us all. Even as a kid growing up, I don't know if does anybody remember the show that used to come on, 911 Emergency? It was called something like that. But I was always infatuated with that show because of the real-life scenarios that were acted out. Man, just captivated me as a kid, realizing what firefighters are faced with and what policemen are called to and different scenarios. Before I came to know the Lord, I had a time where I had some run-ins with them and didn't appreciate it as much then, but I do now. And I'm thankful for that. But just thankful for our first responders and thankful that we can set aside a day to honor them. Patriot Day. We honor our first responders. Yes, we honor our military. We honor all those that serve our country and who are willing to go and to put their lives on the line. And this morning, I find this passage that really speaks very closely to that very subject. Delivering those, rescuing those, helping those that are in need. Those that get this cannot help themselves. That's what 911's for. Either someone is calling that number, someone is trying to reach out for themselves because they're helpless, they're in a situation where they're desperate, Or either they're calling on the behalf of someone else that's desperate, that needs help, that needs intervention. And that's exactly what this passage is talking about. And 15 years ago today, I don't even know how many calls probably went to 911. About this time and a couple hours ago, 911 calls that were probably thousands and thousands as people witnessed the planes going into those twin towers and the plane that went into the Pentagon and those others that went down. The 911 calls that must have been going forward. A day that we will never forget as a country. A day that will always go down in the history books as one of the greatest terrorist attacks on our country. A devastating day. 2,996 people died during the 9/11 terrorist attack. And folks, I will say this as the pastor of this church, and I believe I echo what everyone says, we will never forget. We will honor those people, and we will honor those that laid down their lives to help those people and all those that were rescued. Listen, of the nearly 3,000 people that died that day during that terrorist attack, can I say 411 of them were first responders. 411. Do you get that, church? 411. There were 343 firefighters that died that day. There were 68 police officers that died that day. There were 8 EMTs that died that day. All of those together, 411 first responders who went at the call to put themselves in danger's way, to make that sacrifice, to deliver those that were in distress, to deliver those that needed to be saved. Hey, listen, what stands out about these first responders that we witnessed here this morning as they stood before us, what stood out to me is the fact that they do not forbear, as that text says, and we'll read more here about it in a minute, they do not forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death. When you call 911, friend, they don't ask you what your height is. They don't ask you what your weight is. They don't ask you what your color is. They don't ask you what country you're from. When 911 calls in, I want to tell you, the first thing they're going to do is start sending help. Yes, they will get certain information, but listen, there is no discrimination when it comes to the 911 call. They will send help. They will send aid. They will send someone to help deliver those people that are in distress. And for that, I'm grateful, as I said earlier. But I want to tell you, as God's people, Christians, we ought to be the same way spiritually. I'll talk more about this here in a minute, but we as God's children should never ever discriminate one iota when it comes to helping this world to know Christ. No discrimination as we reach out to our communities. No holding back, no forbearing. I would like to give you some truths here from this passage. I'd like to give you the truths that I believe are taught in these verses that are very similar to what our men and women in our community, our first responders, what they do daily in a physical realm. But it also goes to a spiritual realm for God's children. Look here, first of all, I want us to see number one from this passage. Those that are drawn unto death. Those that are drawn unto death. Look there in your Bible. It says, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain. Listen, what is that a picture of, church? That's a picture of somebody in trouble. That's a picture of somebody in distress that are drawn unto death, near death. Near trouble, ready to be slain at the very verge. But what does it say? It says, we'll see here, it says, if thou forbear. Now, before we get into those that are forbearing, let's talk about the situation we have here of those that are drawn into death. Number one, I want us to say in the spiritual realm that the reason people are drawn unto death spiritually all around us in our community, without any peace in their hearts, without any hope whether or not they'll even go to heaven one day. The reason that is because they are without the Savior. There are people being drawn unto death and ready to be slain because they are without the Savior. Now notice what the Bible says about that in John 3:36. I'll read it to you. It says, "He that believeth on the Son hath life. But he that believeth not the Son hath not life, but the," get this, "the wrath of God abideth on him." You see what the Bible is saying there? Those that have the Son have security. They have hope. They have peace. They have God's salvation that He has given to them. But those that are without the Son, the Bible says the wrath of God abideth on them. It almost, if you will, the picture of the only thing that's holding God's wrath back is His mercy and His grace. It's holding back that sweet, wonderful mercy that allows those that are seeking truth to hear the gospel message and to hear the Word of God. But you see, those that are drawn unto death because they're without the Savior. And I want to say this, Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world," by the way, that's Adam, in the very beginning, the Bible says this, "and death by sin." You see, when that death took place in the garden, when they chose to rebel against God and what He had, the Word that He had given them, there became death. Death became, it started to exist. Because why? They disobeyed God. And it happened physically. They started dying physically, which we're all proof of that here this morning. But also they died spiritually. They died spiritually. And what does that mean when they say they died spiritually? Okay, what happened when you die spiritually? You are separated from God. You are separated from God. You are no longer one with God like Adam and Eve were. And because of sin, there is a great separation. There is a great danger of the wrath of God. It abideth. And there's a great danger there. But thank God, as Brother Ricky prayed earlier, God is a first responder. In fact, the Word of God says the Son of Man came to seek and to save them which were lost. God, hey, He's a first responder. And He's seeking to help those that are in spiritual danger. You know, not only are they drawn unto death because they're without the Savior, but can I say this? They're drawn unto death because they're being deceived by Satan. Can I read this verse to you? The Bible says, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them," get this, "which believe not." Listen, can I say this, and I know this is elementary, okay? But no one is going to spend eternity in the lake of fire because they drink alcohol. They're not going to go and spend eternity in the lake of fire because of drugs. And they're not going to go spend eternity in the lake of fire because they have committed adultery or whatever the case may be. Go down and list all the sins. Can I tell you what the Bible says, what will send someone to the lake of fire? It's very simple. It's unbelief. It's simply rejecting the gospel. The truth that Jesus died for your sins and rose again the third day. And when an individual rejects that and says, "No, I have my own way. I don't need your way." That is unbelief to God's truth. It's not those things that I said before that do that. It's simply rejection. Because that's what the Bible says. "He hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." But thank God, I love the second part of that verse. It says this, "He hath blinded them which believe not," and He says, "less," or "unless the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shine unto them." And that is what I'm seeking to do this morning. Not just for our visitors, but for our church people, to shine the gospel light. Because that's what will lift the blinds of Satan. That's what will lift the scales that he seeks to put over mankind. It's the gospel light. Hey, it's not going to be fancy clothes. It's not going to be a fancy show. Hey, it's not going to be any of those things. I'm telling you right now, it will not be. If it is, it's vain. It's vain. The only thing that will draw a man to true salvation is him receiving the gospel. That's what it is, friends. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that we share the gospel news with our loved ones, with our community. You know what the Bible says about Satan? It says he's a liar. But you know what else it says about him? Jesus said it himself in John chapter 8, verse 44. You know what he said? He said, he is a murderer. He's a murderer. That's what Jesus said from the beginning. It means he's always been a murderer. That's his ultimate goal, is to murder. Our first responders, they see it day to day. They see the things that sin has done to people and things that it causes them to do. And guess who is behind it all? I want to tell you, it's Satan. He's the one that is blinding. He is the one that's binding. He is the one that's seeking to cause men and women to murder themselves and to murder others. He's seeking to murder those that have not received the gospel before they believe. And listen, can I tell you something? The furthest thing I want to do is to ever manipulate anybody, because if I ever manipulate anybody, guess what? I'm in deep trouble with God. But I want to tell you something. The Bible's very clear that God is offering salvation to all. And there is a point in time where, I don't know, God only knows, where there will be an exhausting of His mercy. And a person that has been given the gospel over and over again, He just may turn you over to a reprobate mind. What does a reprobate mind mean? It means simply a calloused mind where you no longer heed the things of God, and where you become hardened to the truth, and Satan wins. Satan wins, because that is his goal. He is to draw them unto death. And we need some God-filled, Spirit-filled believers who will be first responders and giving the sweet gospel message to our neighbors, giving the sweet gospel message to those that we love dearly, even those that we don't love. Even Jesus said our enemies we ought to give the gospel to show that love that He desires us to give them. You know, they're being drawn unto death because they're without the Savior. They've been blinded by Satan. And get this, they're drawn unto death because there are those that have yet to be delivered from their sin debt. Now listen, I used to work in North Africa among the Muslim people groups. And one of the biggest things that was a bondage to those people as I sought to give them the Word of God was simply this. They simply believed that they had to work their way to heaven. They had to pay. That's why they pray five times a day. That's why they do all these almsgiving and all these works in front of men, because they're trying to build their repertoire, whatever, their account, if you will. They're trying to build it so if God wills, they will enter in. But let me tell you something. That's where Satan has deceived millions and millions of people. He has convinced millions and millions of people that they have to get to heaven on their own account. He's convinced them that they have to build up an account when the gospel says Jesus paid it all. Amen. Jesus paid it all. There's not one thing that I have to pay for when it comes to my sin. It was all paid for at Calvary. But I want to tell you something. People are being drawn unto death daily, hourly, moment by moment. Not just physically, but dear friends, spiritually. Folks that are on their way to eternal separation from a holy and righteous God. Not because of sin they've committed, but because of rejection of the gospel. You see, number two here, and I'm moving quickly. Number one, we see that there are those that are being drawn unto death, as it says in verse 11. But then I want us to see, secondly, there are those who are called to deliver. It says in the very first part of the verse 11, look, it says, if thou, that's personal, if you are not willing, that word forbear is simply, can I just illustrate in a very, I'm a simplistic kind of guy, so I kind of catch on to these simple things. Well, you know an easy way to explain forbearing someone that's in trouble? That's forbearing, folks. It's refusing. Could you imagine these dear first responders? And I was in the Coast Guard for 4 years, and man, we did search and rescue all the time, the 4 years I was in there. And can you imagine if a distress call were to come, if they were to witness or whatever, and they just said, nah, maybe another day. or if they turned their head toward their back to it, we would be appalled. We would say, oh my, how could they do that? That's forbearing. But you know, sometimes God's people do that same thing. We got people, we got neighbors who are not out on their lawns yelling for us, but we know inside their hearts they are asking somebody to come help them. They're asking someone to come and meet a need, physically and spiritually. They're seeking for someone to come and help. There are those that are called to deliver. And can I say this to our church this morning? Just like these first responders who I thank God for are called to go and deliver and rescue and help those in distress, God's people are called to do the same thing spiritually. Listen, this church right here ought to be an emergency room, a hospital, if you will, a Red Cross, to where people can come and receive the gospel and hear the word of God and to grow in grace and to be healed by the sweet word of God and this precious ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what our church ought to be. Hey, this church ain't just for the all cleaned up righteous crowd. This church ain't for all those that got it together. Hey, listen, anybody that's got that attitude, man, they're on the way to bad trouble. That's prideful, and God says He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Hey, I'm telling you what, I hope we'll have a vision at this church. Just like these first responders have a vision to helping those that are helpless and those that are in distress, I pray, oh God, help us to have a vision to reach out and make a difference for eternity. There are those that are called to deliver. Let's not forbear. Let's not close our ears. And neither, as we see here, look in our passage. It says, doth not he, in verse 12, it says, behold, we knew it not. Now that's an excuse. That's an excuse. You know, everyone's got excuses, don't they? We all have excuses from time to time. But when we are called to deliver, listen, none of these people would have their job that stood before us. None of them would have their job for a split second if they made some excuse why they could not go to a call. Well, actually, I gotta run to the store real quick. Or actually, you know what? It's my break time, you know, and I'm enjoying just some time just hanging out. You know, whatever the case may be. No, that would be absurd again. No, there's no excuses. Well, I didn't hear the call. Well, the radio's working. You know, there could be so many excuses. But you know, as God's people, we got to be careful of the same thing. We can't make excuses. We can't make excuses. We can't be in denial as we don't know people are in distress and trouble. You know what that goes from? That comes from a heart that's calloused. But hey, let's do this, church. Let's ask God to do this. Lord, if my heart has become calloused in any way, oh God, please break it up. Do what you have to do to break it up and let me have a heart of compassion. That's what God is saying. A heart of compassion is what? Being willing to go at any call. Being willing to go as we just had some first responders have to leave. Hey, are we ready to go? Are we ready to be called if God says, go here? I want you to go talk to these people about my grace. I want you to go tell these people about my love. I want you to go tell these people about my salvation. I want you to go tell them about my truth. Church, are we ready to go? Are we ready to go at the call of God? To go and do that which God has called us to do. We see there is no forbearance, there is no excuses. But can I say thirdly in closing, we see another person here, and that's God Himself in our verse. Look there in our verse, it says, behold, we knew it not. Doth not He, get this, pondereth the heart, consider it. And He that keepeth thy soul, doth not He know it? And shall not He render to every man according to His works? Listen, we see here in this passage, church, we see God sees the heart. God sees the heart. I was telling the young men in our Sunday school class this morning, look, when David was called and chosen of God, he had all those brothers, and I guarantee you, those brothers looked sharp. Those are the guys you wanted on your football team. Those are the guys you wanted to be on your side. Listen, those were it. But God says, no, none of those are it. There's got to be at least one more where there was. And it was David. And what the point was in that lesson is God looks on the heart. Man looks on the appearance, but God looks on the heart. And I want to tell you something. We can look like, I'm telling you what, and I'm just as guilty as anybody. We can look good. We can come to church with our shirts and ties and our best dress, and man, we can smile. But listen, what are we doing in the realm of delivering those that are in trouble? God sees our heart. And I'm hoping that God would give us a heart of compassion and not just calloused, where we don't hear the call of the distressed, where we don't seek out to help those that are in harm's way. God sees the motive, and the motive's tested. It says He sees it, and rewards are given. You know, we honor our first responders this morning because they are worthy to be honored. They deserve honor from us because of what they do. And we honor them that. And I want to tell you something, folks. God will honor His children too, as we seek to do what He's called us to do our duty. As Paul said it, he says, it is your reasonable service. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable God. He said, it is your reasonable service. And that's what I believe. God will honor this church. He will bless this church in more ways than we ever can imagine. And I'm not just talking about numerically, okay? I'm just talking about spiritually strong church, as we seek to let the One who knows our hearts, who knows our motives, use us, and not that we forbear. Not that we forbear. Listen, in closing, there was a firefighter that I read about. It just captivated me as I read about his testimony. On 9/11, there was a firefighter that was in what they call Squad 1. It was an elite group of firefighters who, basically, these guys were the Navy SEALs of firefighters. These guys would actually, their main responsibility was actually delivering or rescuing firefighters that were in distress, that had got caught in a building or whatever the case may be. These guys were the elite. Well, this guy, this day, a firefighter by the name of Stephen Siller, he was on his way off his shift. And man, we got some firefighters here today and police officers, EMT, but they work some crazy shifts. And man, when your shift comes up, you're headed home, man, guess what? That's what you're going to do. That's what we're going to go relax, try to get some rest, get ready for the next time. And Stephen Siller was just that. He was off that shift of working all night. That morning of September 11th, he was on his way to play golf with his brothers. Had a big family. There was like 10 siblings in the family. And he was going to play golf with his brothers, and then he got the call. Right about that time that plane hit that building, the distress call, and calling firefighters from all over to come in. And you know what he did? He called his wife and said, "Honey, I'm going. I know my shift just ended, but I'm going straight there." And that's what he did. He put the phone down, and she couldn't talk him out of anything. He went straight there. And come to find out, this when Stephen got to a roadblock because of the security situation, they had blocked it off before the tunnels. There's some tunnels that go to that specific area, and he could not get through. Well, he picks up his gear, which can be up to 60 pounds. He takes his gear, and he runs through the tunnels to the towers. And he goes into that building, and he is going to rescue lives, and Squad 1 goes too. And Stephen Siller went into that building, and he did not come out that day. Why? Because he decided a long time ago that he would not forbear. He would not close his ears to the call of God. He would not close his eyes, as so many Christians do, to the call of God. He was called to go fight fires that day and to save people, and that's what he was going to do. And I'm just asking you this morning, church, is that what we're willing to do for God? Is that what we're willing to do to those that are in distress? And perhaps I'm speaking to someone here this morning. Perhaps it's a visitor. Perhaps it's a church member. And God is calling. God is calling you to repentance. God is calling you to turn to Him and receive the gospel. Again, Don't ever believe the lie of the devil. Please, don't ever believe the lie of the devil that you got to get cleaned up before you come to God. That is one of the biggest lies of Satan that he tried to convince me for a long time. Son, you got to get cleaned up. You get cleaned up and then you come to God. That's backwards. God's Word teaches we come to God and He cleans us up. as we grow in grace. And perhaps you're here this morning and you've never come to God on His terms, simply saying, Lord, I am one that I know I need to be delivered spiritually. I am in danger. Your wrath is abiding on me, Lord, and I'm realizing this morning the only thing that's holding that back is Your sweet, wonderful mercy and Your grace. Perhaps that's you this morning. Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive that sweet, wonderful message, friend. I'm going to give you that opportunity this morning from the sincerity of your heart, if that's what you believe, to call upon the Lord. Not because we want to embarrass you or call you out. I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to make a way for you to simply just call out to the Lord and ask Him to be your Savior if that's truly coming from your heart. And then I'm going to give an invitation to God's people. Those that claim that they know Christ, but yet you know God has dealt with you this morning about forbearing to hear the cry of the lost. Those neighbors of ours, that community of ours, those co-workers of ours that have yet to hear the gospel come from your lips, from my lips. God's bringing people to mind right now in my own life. I wonder if we would just say today, God, I'm guilty. I've been forbearing to hear the cry of the distress. And Lord, I'm going to, by your grace, I'm going to do what I can to make sure they get that gospel message. And then I wonder if I'm speaking to someone here this morning and you say, Brother Brinson, I don't know that I've ever been truly delivered from my sin debt. I've kind of thought that I have to pay my way. If my good weighs out my bad at the end of this life, maybe He'll let me in, maybe not. I've been there. I was there one time. Listen, it's not like that. If you come to God on His terms and realize He has paid it all, and you just simply have to receive it by faith. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to come pray with me. You don't have to come confess your sin to me. It's between you and God. Listen, what are we doing? Are we forbearing? Are we closing our ears? Are we in denial? I didn't know, Lord. I never heard the truth. I never heard a message like that. Lord, I didn't know. Well, one day we will stand before our Maker and we will not be there without excuse. It will be a time where we will have to give an account to God, and He will hold us accountable for what we've heard and the things we've received. I ask you just to be honest with God today, and I know with all my heart, you'll never, ever, ever regret it. Would you pray with me, please? I'm going to have a word of prayer here in just a moment. As our musicians come, during this time we open it up for our church members and our visitors, if you felt like in any way God is speaking to you, I want to start it off by just saying this before I pray. Is there someone here today that you say, really, preacher, if I'm completely honest, I really don't know whether or not I've been delivered from my sin debt. I really don't know whether or not if I were to die today for whatever reason, I'm not sure that I would go to heaven. You say, that's me, preacher. Would you just simply say a word of prayer for me? I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven. Would you show me by lifting up your hand? You say, I'm not sure if I've been delivered, but I need prayer. I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you lift it up high so I can see? Is there anybody like that? Okay, next question is simply this. God's people, has God spoken to your heart today? Has God worked in your life about forbearing? You're forbearing to hear the lost. Maybe today that you just need to get that settled and get that right, saying, I am not going to refuse any longer to be the witness and the voice and the first responder I need to be, spiritually speaking. I hope that you'll be honest with the Lord this morning. Father, I'm thankful for our church and I'm thankful for our visitors. Lord, I do pray that You would be with each of them in a special way. Lord, just as physically speaking, it's not hard to make calls many times about deliverance and people's need of help. A lot of people refuse that and cause more harm to themselves. And I pray if there's someone here refusing Your grace and refusing Your mercy, I pray for them, Lord. I pray that You'd show them Your love, that You would show them and convince them that You're there for them. You are willing and ready to save if they don't know Jesus as their Savior. And then, Lord, I pray for the believers here that know they're going to heaven, that know they've been delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray for them. I pray for all of us, Lord, that You'd help us not to forbear to hear those that are drawn unto death, those that are ready to be slain. Lord, help us not to say with an excuse, we knew not. Lord, we just ask You to have Your will and way in our hearts now. And we'll make sure that we give You the glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please?